This is the story of my 2003 Hope Spring Break trip. For 8 days in March of 2003, I took part in the most gratifying and rewarding experience of my life, which taught me that even at the bleakest of times, you can always find a little light and a little hope. I was a sophomore at Stonehill College in Easton, Massachusetts, and I had spent the last few months completing the lengthy application and interview process to be able to take part in the HOPE Alternative Spring Break program. I couldn't remember hearing about this opportunity during my college search, and I knew it was something I just had to be a part of. From the youngest of ages, I've had a passion for helping others, and this spring break opportunity would give me the option of helping people in dire need and allow me to travel while doing it, all for free. What could be better? As a college freshman, I missed the opportunity to take part in the HOPE Alternative Spring Break program. After the terrorist attacks of 9/11, a letter I had sent to a former high school teacher requesting a recommendation for my HOPE application got lost in the mail. Unfortunately, my letter got stuck to another piece of mail and was torn up. As a result, it became entwined with an anthrax investigation by the FBI. But that's a story for a different day. Since I was unable to complete the application process during my freshman year, I had to wait an entire year to even be considered for the spring break opportunity. So I was bound and determined to be accepted as a sophomore. There was no way I'd miss this opportunity a second time. After being interviewed by various college officials, members of campus ministry, and student leaders, and then participating in a number of fundraising activities to help raise money to fund the trips, I finally received my acceptance letter for my first choice trip, Sunset Gap Community Center in Cosby, Tennessee. Our group wouldn't know the actual assignment until we got there, but we did know that we'd be helping out in a very impoverished area of Tennessee. January and February of 2003 were spent meeting with our group leaders, with our group and our leaders, so we could get to know one another. We'd be driving 16 hours to Tennessee together and sharing one room and one bathroom all together for a week, so we needed to ensure we were comfortable around one another. We packed all our luggage, the four leaders, and the 16 students into two 16-passenger vans and started the journey down the East Coast from Massachusetts to Tennessee. We knew we'd be making several gas station and McDonald's pit stops, but other than that, our destination was Cosby, Tennessee. Several students in each van were certified to drive such large vehicles, so we swapped off 2 to 3 hour driving shifts. I can remember driving through New Jersey with my eyelids getting so heavy from exhaustion. Luckily, when it seemed like I could no longer keep my eyes open, the gas gauge signaled a low fuel tank. My saving grace would be the nearest mobile service station. After 5 gas tank fill-ups and 3 square meals of McDonald's, we finally arrived at the Sunset Gap Community Center in Cosby, Tennessee. We were given a quick tour of the facilities and shown to our room for the next week. After taking some time to set up our sleeping bags and pillows, we went to the meeting center to get the details of our assignment. The Sunset Gap director shared with us a story of a 10-year-old boy who recently became wheelchair-bound due to complications of cystic fibrosis and some other debilitating illnesses he had. The young boy's home now required a handicap ramp to allow him to get in and out safely. The family did not have the financial means to build it themselves, so over the next week, we would be constructing a ramp on the front of their home. Now, working with power tools is not a strength of mine, but I was willing to try anything to help this poor family. The next morning at 6:30, after a delicious breakfast of homemade pancakes, we arrived at the young boy's house. Our lumber and tools had been delivered even earlier that morning, so we could get started on our project right away. Luckily, some members from the community who had building experience came to help us out. Otherwise, I don't know that 16 college students would have been able to build a sturdy enough ramp that was up to code. So with a bit of guidance from our construction helpers, we spent the next 8 hours constructing the frame for the ramp. The next 2 days were spent measuring and cutting lumber that would serve as a ramp itself. Upon returning to the community center after our third day, we were greeted with some sad news. The house where we were building the ramp had been broken into and vandalized for 3 consecutive nights prior to our arrival. Over the course of 3 nights, hooligans stole a laptop, a TV, and even an oxygen tank that the boy relied on for survival. They also destroyed photo albums and family knickknacks, and even tore up the carpet, wrote on walls, and broke furniture. The family, obviously heartbroken, decided they were going to move from their home. They no longer felt safe there and were just so devastated by the loss of so many of their possessions. We found ourselves in a predicament. Do we follow through with the job we came to do and continue to build the ramp? Or do we salvage any of the lumber that was still available for the family to use when they moved to their new home? We had a very long and heartfelt group discussion that night, and ultimately we decided to continue building the ramp. At least it would be something the new homeowners could use in the future, even if it was meant for the young boy. We spent the next 3 days nailing wooden planks, sanding railings, and staining the ramp once it was finished. By the end of the week, we all had blisters and calluses covering our hands. And no matter how many cold showers we took, a lot of us still had paint crusted on our faces and in our hair. We luckily made it through the week with only one minor injury, a hammered index finger. We returned to the community center for our final night. The community center staff cooked us a wonderful pasta dinner, and as we ate, we received the most wonderful surprise of all. The young boy and his mother, Timothy and Jessica, who we had just built the ramp for, came into the community center with a plate full of brownies. Jessica began crying as she told us how appreciative she was and how our efforts gave her renewed hope for a better life. She told us that after seeing the finished ramp, she decided not to move. Jessica said that the support she received from us gave her the strength to put the pieces of her life back together. She also mentioned that she and her son would keep our kindness with them and try their best to pay it forward.